The beginning of Lent seems like a good time to talk about penance, since this is the primary penitential season in the Church's liturgical year. Now, we're speaking here of the practice of performing penance, not the sacrament of penance or confession. We'll talk about that in its own episode. The Church urges us to reflect on our own death as we reflect on the death of our Savior. On Ash Wednesday, we were reminded that, of ourselves, we are no more than dust. In the context of eternity, our lives pass away as quickly and easily as dust being blown away. Reflecting on death is not supposed to leave us downcast, but to remind us that this brief earthly life is given to us so that we can approach death as the door to eternal life, rather than the end of a pitiful existence and the beginning of eternal death. Christ's death and our death are connected because he underwent death to free us from the finality of death. So reflecting on death is really about hope and on our need for God's grace to share in Christ's victory over death. We are only subject to death in the first place because of sin, because when first created, our first parents were endowed with grace and other supernatural gifts which would preserve them from bodily corruption. In Adam, the passions were subject to the will, and the will was subject to the reason, and the reason was subject to God. But when they rebelled, our whole nature rebelled, and we no longer come into this world endowed with grace, and our passions and will took over our reason, which was no longer subject to God's will and guided by His grace. So our whole existence is for one sole purpose, to become reunited with God, from whom we have fallen away because of sin. And since our fallen human nature is always inclined to sin, and this on account of our sensual nature, penance of some kind is necessary for us to subject our appetites and passions and will and mind to God's grace once again. As we've said many times already, we are bodily creatures, not pure spirits, not angels. To become holy is not merely an affair for the interior life. It must include our bodies as well. Everyone recognizes the union of body and soul, even if they don't necessarily analyze it. Our senses and bodily condition affect our interior life, our thoughts and emotions, for better or worse. And our interior dispositions manifest themselves in how we act. So if we wish our souls to be subject to God's will and guided by His grace, this involves, in part, subjecting our bodies to some discipline, to tell it no, it's not in charge. St. Francis of Assisi used to refer to his body as Brother Ass, as if it were a stubborn, disobedient donkey. Rather than letting the appetites and passions direct us, we want to put them back in their proper place, subject to our will and reason. Would that we could do this simply by an act of the will, but again, we're embodied, so we have to do certain external actions to discipline the senses and appetites. It's important to remember, however, as God reminds us many times in the Old and New Testaments, that the interior disposition is the essential part of penance and holiness. So while we must afflict our bodies to tame our souls, we could subject ourselves to all kinds of torments and fasts and disciplines, but if these things remain as mere external acts, they are worthless, sometimes even sinful. A humble and contrite heart is the sacrifice that matters. Consider how often this is reiterated by God in ancient Israel through the patriarchs and prophets in the Psalms, and by Christ himself so often when he rebukes the Pharisees. So both errors are to be avoided, thinking that we are spirits so we don't need bodily penance, and thinking that chastising our body is an end in itself. No, we do bodily penances and sacrifices to discipline the soul so that it might be more humble and open to God's grace. Imagining that we can become holy by simply thinking about it and not doing anything external is silly, and thinking that we are automatically holy because we do certain things externally is also silly. So that's why we do penance in general, and why the greatest feast of the Church's year, the Resurrection, is preceded by a long period of penance. Since the greatest graces await us at Easter, we want to make our souls as open to those graces as possible, and we do this through penance. Now, it's important to understand that penances can take various forms, and the kind of penance we do depends in part on our state in life. A parent of small children probably cannot or maybe even should not be doing the same kind of penances or fasts that a contemplative monk is doing. A person with fragile health should not be doing the kind of penances that a healthy young man is capable of. Much prudence is required in deciding how and when and to what extent we engage in self-denial. Prayer must be the basis for all our spiritual practices, engaging daily in true meditative prayer, especially before the Blessed Sacrament if possible, will help ensure that our sacrifices are worthwhile and meritorious and effective, as well as helping us discern what kind of penance is best for us personally. The desire or intention to do any penance that goes beyond the common practices of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving encouraged by the Church should be guided by the counsel of a prudent and prayerful spiritual director, because we know that the devil can take things that are seemingly good and turn them into spiritual harm if we are not prayerful and prudent and humble about it.